Honey. Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody who will be watching this with us today. This is the third message that I have on the series on the family. The first one was, where have all the fathers gone? The last one was, where have all the mothers gone? And today it's, where have all the children gone? And I said in the last message on the women that to start out, you know, we have to understand how unnormal the world is for women today. It's unnormal for everybody, but I got into that last message, how unnormal it really is for women because of the unnormal roles that the women are put in society. But with the children, I think it's even way worse than the women. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, in Malachi where it talks about Eliyahu coming in the end and turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And wow, when he comes, he's going to have some job on his hand because it's just such an unnatural society, such an unnatural world that we're living in, an unnormal world. And whereas in the Bible times, you had children that were weaned until they were 4 or 5 with the mothers. And then by the time they were 5 years old, they were going out and they were working. They were working in the fields. They were working in the homes. They were learning the trade of the father, or if it was a girl, learning from the mother. And it was totally different than today. When we look at our society today of parents having children, and within months in Israel, the same thing, within 2 months, 3 months, a young baby, 3 months old, is thrown into daycare. The woman is back to work in the workforce, as if that's her main purpose in life, is to have some job in an office somewhere instead of raising her children. So as we're getting into the role of children and what children should be doing, we have to realize from the outset, and the beginning of the message I'm going to go into, the parents, what the parents really need to be doing with the children first, because the parents are the overseers of the children. Yahweh has put parents there to train the children, to bring them up into his kingdom. And if the parent is not doing their job, the result is going to be what we have today. We have a total society of youth, you know, this Generation X that are brainwashed by the New World Order and the progressive movement through the educational system. We've probably never in the history of human beings ever had so many people in the world, which is probably at least half the world, that have no religious conviction. I mean, face it, in end time you had paganism, right? And people bowing down to this or believing in a false deity like Baal. But they believed in something. They believed there was something higher than them. They just had the wrong deity involved. Where today, you have people that have a disdain for anything with the Bible, anything that's religious. And it's all coming because they're being brainwashed into this false educational system. Because of TV, video games, and the internet, which are all unnormal. And it's creating a complete, unnormal, immoral society that can't last another generation. Another sign that we are definitely in the end times is because of this. I have an article here that talks about some of this stuff that's going on today. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. But in this article from WorldNet Daily, it talks about there's actually people out there today, they're called bug chasers, that they go out there trying to get AIDS. They go out there trying to have sexual relationships, you know, immoral ones, with the intent of getting AIDS, you know. Body piercing is progressed from traditional earrings for females to earrings for males, multiple piercings for males and females, literally on every part of the body, the tongue, the nose, the eyebrow, the lip, the cheek, the navel, the breast, genitals, again, everything that you can think of. Then there's the national epidemic of self-mutilating or cutting, which is demonic. We even see it in scripture that it's a demonic thing. Tattooing and piercing are just the tip of the body modification. Ritual scarification and 3D art implants. Genital beating, stretching, cutting. All kinds of weird stuff, but we see it in tattooing. Why on earth would people be tattooing from head to foot all over their body? How about hanging your skin by hooks? It's called suspension, that people literally do this. In ancient times, you would have thought it was a gruesome torture. Today, they're just doing it for funk. Tongue splitting is the same. Video game addiction. I mean, you don't hear much of this in the news, but young kids as early as 4, 5, 6 years old and 10, 12 into these awful, evil video games that are just filled with blood and killing and death. And some of them play 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day. They're just being indoctrinated. And it's part of why you're seeing these gruesome killings that go on all over the country, because this is what's happening from people. The interesting part is with this article is 11 years old. This is an article that was written back in 2005 by WorldNet Daily. And you could just imagine in the last 10, 11 years how much even worse it's gotten. And I don't want to get into it because that's not my point today. But I do want to start to show that we have a big problem on our hands with the youth and this generation. And that as believers, we can't change the world. It's not about that. Because the Bible tells us, 2 Timothy 3, I'm not going to go there. We've done it many other times. It says, disastrous times will be in the end. Disastrous times. People will be lovers of money, lovers of self, blasphemous, right? And disobedient to parents, ungrateful. And we have a whole generation now of children that are growing up this way. They're disobedient to the parents. They're not listening to what's told to them. They're ungrateful. They're not growing up with a spirit of gratefulness, but ungratefulness. Proverbs 30 talks about this. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. It says, a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. A generation that is pure in its own eyes and yet not washed from its own filth. So this is a generation that they don't need Yahweh's grace anymore. They don't need the blood of Yeshua. They are so proud and arrogant. And it gets back to a whole generation that is just indoctrinated with these evil, sick iPod things that they have 24 hours a day and just looking, typing. And their minds are taken over with absolute evil. Always wanting to give every single article that's written, every single thing that's said, they want to give their opinion on it and what they think. And it only gets worse and worse and worse. A generation that is pure in its own eyes and yet not washed from its own filth. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are its eyes, and its eyelids are lifted up, filled with pride. A generation whose teeth are like swords and its jaw teeth like knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. So we're just starting this message, and this is what we're up against. And that's why, to parents, what you have to do, getting started here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. You must separate your children from the world. If you want any chance of keeping them in the truth, you have to separate your children from the world. And unfortunately, we'll get into this, sometimes you even have to separate them from other believers in the congregation. I mean, I hate to have to say that, but there's in the congregation people that are not doing this, people that are putting their kids in public school and have children that are in the world and part of the world, and they don't want to separate their children. And this is another thing that we're dealing with. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay? This has gone on now for almost a whole generation. We're getting into the very last days here, the very last few years of the most wicked, evil generation that has ever been in the history of mankind. And like I said, we can't last another generation. When you look at the youth that are there now, you have in within Yahweh's people even a 70 to 80% fall away rate of second generation believers. So we got a big problem on our hands, and it's got to be dealt with. Drop down to verse 14. Do not unite in marriage with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness, and what fellowship does light have with darkness? And a simple scripture like this that is so clear, even a lot of the youth don't see it. They're brought up by the time they're 18, 20, 22, 24. Many of the youth in the congregation are going. They're dating, which again is unbiblical. We have courting in the congregation. We don't have dating. Dating only leads to fornication and bad things. But they go out, they're dating people, male and female, that are not part of Yahweh's congregation, that are not covenant people. They're getting into illicit situations that are not good. And the next thing you know, they're marrying someone who's not a believer. And very clearly it says here, look what it says next. What fellowship does light have with darkness? We have to realize this. In this New World Order age, in this world of political correctness, where the homosexual and the lesbian is put on par with the husband and the wife, we can't let this affect our thinking. We have to realize that the people with the Spirit of Yahweh, the first fruits, are different. We're not judging people that aren't that. We love them. That's why we bring the good news to these people. But you have to realize that people without the Spirit of Yahweh are different than people with the Spirit of Yahweh. And particularly when we're talking about our youth and friendships and dating, you can't have this. As parents, you have to make sure that your children are having friendships and relationships with other, not just believers, but other believers that are on the same page. People that are strong believers, people that are serious about their calling, and other people that are separating from the world and not part of it. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does the Messiah have with Satan, right? The world out there is Satan's world. Within the congregation, we're living in a mindset. That's why I say the kingdom of Yahweh is not just a reality, but it's a mentality. You live in that mentality every day of your life. And unfortunately, the people in the world are living in the mentality of the world of Satan every day of their life. And you can't combine it. You can't combine it. And that's why by sending your children to public school, you are indoctrinating them day after day and week after week and month after month with the bylaws of Satan, with the ways of Satan, how things are done. They're being indoctrinated through the educational system of the progressive agenda. There's a really good movie we showed at the feast a couple of years ago called Agenda, that if you haven't seen it, you really need to watch it, because it's an actual ex-congressman that goes into the whole educational progressive agenda going back to the 1940s in America, maybe even before that, and shows that it's the educational system is where Satan is trying to get your children. And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim. As it said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, saith Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be separated. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be separated from people that are not part of Yahweh's first fruits. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. Then, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, sanctification, and the fear of Elohim. If you want to ever have the opportunity to have children that are going to grow up to be Yahweh inspired children, you have to keep them separated from the world. It's that simple. And that's not just the people. That's talking about the internet. It's talking about the iPods. It's talking about all of the music of the world. Because what we're seeing, even in congregations, not congregations of Yahweh Jerusalem, but even in some other congregations of Sabbath keepers and holy name keepers, that they have horrible rock music that they're playing in their congregation, that they think because the words say Yahweh or the words say Yeshua, that it's good music. And it's not. It's abomination. It's a mixing. It's a syncretism of mixing the ways of Satan in the world with the ways of Yahweh. And it just doesn't work. So don't give in to peer pressure, youth. Don't give in to peer pressure. You have to make sure that you don't have worldly influences. That's the first thing. You have to, your whole life should be centered around studying your Bible, reading, getting a relationship with Yahweh and a relationship with Yeshua, making it real to you. If we go to 1 Samuel 1, because I want to show you from Scripture now, how are Elohim children supposed to be brought up? You know, are they supposed to be brought up with all of these gadgets and all of these toys and just having a life of fun? Is that what children are supposed to do? You know, this whole Santa Claus mentality, you know, embrace your kids with just all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of things. Is that what Scripture tells us? Is that the way that you bring children up? With fantasy, all kinds of fantasy things there, and veggie tales, you know, that David is a cucumber and all this stuff. Is that really what Yahweh's word says is how we're supposed to be bringing up our children to be righteous before Yahweh? Because I don't see it here. I don't see David being a cucumber. I just don't see it here in my Bible. I see David as a king, a great king, a character that we need to be teaching our children the character of a David, not the cucumber of a David. And things like VeggieTales, and plus this whole story is when you look at all this, they change the Bible, they add all things to it. They're literally, like Yahweh says, if you take away a word or add a word, your name is taken out of the book of life. And that's literally what they're doing with all of this fantasy stuff. And that's not what Scripture is teaching us, how we are to raise our children. So let's go here to 1 Samuel 1, and let's look how a true Elohim, little tiny boy of Yahweh, is supposed to be brought up. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 20. And it happened when the time had come around, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, Shmuel, saying, because I have asked him of Yahweh. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to sacrifice to Yahweh a sacrifice of days and to vow his vow. Going up to Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, I'm sorry at this time, going up to Shiloh. And Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, until the child is weaned, then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh and remain there forever. Wow. Can you imagine? Now here it is. She's having a child, right? She wanted this child so bad. She was so mourning how bad she wanted a child. Now, she goes over there to the tabernacle in Shiloh. Yahweh blesses her. She gets this child. And what does she say? This isn't my child. This child is sanctified. It's set apart to Yahweh. Do we think that way with our children? When we have our children, are we thinking, these are not our children. We're just the caretakers. Yahweh has entrusted us to care for these tiny, tiny little infants that we call children, and to bring them up to be Elohim-guided children believers in Him. That's what it's there for. They're not ours. They're Yahweh's. And that's what she says here. I will bring him that he may appear before Yahweh and remain there forever. And her husband Elkanah said to her, do that which is good in your eyes. Remain until you wean him. Only may Yahweh confirm his word. And the woman remained and suckled her son until she had weaned him. Like I said, in these days it was 4, 5 years old, somewhere around there. Maybe even a little older in some cases. And when she had weaned him, she brought him up with her, along with 3 bulls and 1 ephah of flour, a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of Yahweh at Shiloh. And the child was a young one, you know, probably around 5 years old. And they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, oh, my master, may your soul live, my master. I am the woman who stood before you here to pray to Yahweh. I prayed for this boy, and Yahweh has given my petition to me, which I asked of him. And I have asked him to be given to Yahweh all the days which he shall be. He is loaned for Yahweh. And he worshiped there before Yahweh. He's loaned from Yahweh. Our children are loaned to us from Yahweh. They belong to Yahweh. And our greatest responsibility in life as a believer, our greatest responsibility, even before us making the kingdom, is making sure our children make the kingdom. Because we have the greatest amount of ability over our children. We have the greatest amount of influence of our children than anybody else. And if you give that influence up to worldly teachers in public school, to sports coaches, which children shouldn't be involved in competitive sports, or to anything else, you know, even to a mate, you know, someone that would marry my daughter would have to come through me first. And it's got to be somebody who's dedicated to Yahweh and somebody that when I give her over, I'm feeling secure that for the rest of her life, he is going to be the covering over her, her spiritual head, and would never go back on Yahweh. So this is what he's saying. He's loaned there. Now drop down to verse 11 of chapter 2. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child served Yahweh before Eli the priest. See, he wasn't out there playing with all kinds of toys and just having this life of fantasy and all of these different things. No, this child was dedicated to Yahweh, and he was serving in the tabernacle of Yahweh from the time he was 5 years old. Go down to verse 18. And Samuel was serving before Yahweh as a boy girded with an ephah of linen. And his mother made a small coat for him, and she brought it up to him from year to year as she came up with her husband to offer the sacrifice of days. Drop down to verse 26. And the boy Samuel Shmuel went on, growing both in stature and in goodness, both with Yahweh and also with men. Samuel was growing in stature with Yahweh men. This can only happen because he wasn't coddled because he was taught. He's teaching the scriptures from birth. He's teaching the ways of Yahweh. He's teaching the seriousness of obedience to Yahweh. And obedience is better than sacrifice, right? So this is what's being taught to Samuel, who probably, if you look, was the greatest prophet that we ever see. Because he was set apart from birth. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train a child in the opening of the way as soon as he's born. And when he gets older, he will not depart from it. That is a promise of Yahweh. But you have to train your children. It's not something you do once. It's something that you do day after day, month after month, year after year. And sometimes, part of that training, if a child, especially if they're older, if they're adult, and they're not following the way of Yahweh, is putting that child away, just like you would in the congregation, if somebody is not following the ways of Yahweh and is causing destruction. Because you are not helping your child, whether they're younger or whether their age of accountability, if you're allowing them to get away with evil. Look at the rest of the story. I'm not going to read it here. But look at Eli's children compared to Shmuel, to Samuel. Eli's children were sons of worthlessness. They were out there doing all this evil stuff, and Eli allowed them to get away with it. And it actually, Eli, who was a pretty righteous guy, it actually cost him his spot in his priesthood because he didn't deal with the problems of his children. So this is where, you know, where have all the children gone? But I'm starting off to show the parents have the responsibility, particularly in underage children. From the time they're born, the parent has the responsibility. That child is living in your house. They are going to follow the rules of Yahweh. It's that simple. And those rules can't be contradictory. They have to be the rules of Yahweh in the house all the time. Because if they're contradictory, that one rule is being kept and one rule is being broken, then the children, they're growing up with, insecurity. They're growing up with not really seeing what's right or wrong. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, if this was written by John back in 90 AD, how much more is this today in a global world? In a world that everywhere you look, everybody is interconnected, no matter where you are now. Because with these little idle things, these iPods that people have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always just looking. I'm amazed when I'm in an airport on airplanes. I mean, it's just their mind is taken over with their idols, like it talks about with Babylon. And people really, they're taken over with these things. And the world, everything that's going on in the world, everything that's on Twitter and all these kind of things and Facebook and everything that's in the world is just indoctrinated into these youth's head almost from the time they're born now. And we're wondering why we have this wicked, evil generation in the end time. We're wondering why. Come on. They're not following Yahweh. Those iPods aren't being the word of Yahweh. They're not scrolling down scripture 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're not just listening to sermons 24 hours, 7 days a week. No, this world wants everything of the world. And it is Satan's world. Satan's kingdom is here now. Satan's kingdom is literally here. And that's why I keep saying it's the time for Yahweh's people to leave the world. The same way that the Waldenses left the world. And they came out of society. They didn't work in society. They stayed out of society because they didn't want to get corrupted by commerce. The same way that the Qumran sect, when they thought that the end was coming and they left society and went down to Qumran. And here it is for 2,000 years. Those scrolls were hidden. And now on the eve that Israel becomes a nation again, they're found. And it's the same now. Yahweh is telling us, come out from among them and be separate. You can't be part of the world and be part of the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is what each youth is going to have to decide now. Because if the youth stays in the world, what happens? Every day, every month, they are going to get less interested in Yahweh and more enthralled with the world. It's that simple. And as parents, we have to guide them from this. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. And as parents, we have to make these children understand that what you're seeing here in the world, it's passing. It's going to end. And you might have these little iPods and you might want to have these video games and this stuff here for the next little time, which is actually indoctrinating you and brainwashing you. But the kingdom of Yahweh is something that will stand forever. And it's a fight for the soul of our children right now. It is a fight to the end for the soul of our children. Look what it says next. Little children, it is a last hour. It is a last hour. This is for the end time. As you have heard that the anti-Messiah is coming, even now many anti-Messiahs have risen up from which you know that it is the last hour. Oh yeah, there's a lot of anti-Messiahs, meaning in the place of Messiah. Where on earth can you go? One out of every three people in the world is a Christian, right? But where can you find the true doctrine of Yeshua? Where can you find the true message of the kingdom of Yahweh? Where can you find the true message about Israel's redemption in the end time? Where can you find this? Hardly anywhere. And yet one out of three people in the world is so-called a Christian, more than a billion that are Catholic, because they're anti-Messiahs. They're in the place of Messiah. It's a different message. It's not about Yeshua. It's a different message. Look what it says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us, but they left so it might be revealed that they are not all of us. And we see it. We see that don't think that if you come to a Feast of Tabernacles, don't think that if you come to a meeting of a congregation of Yahweh, that everybody that's sitting there is a true covenant believer, because it's just not true. There's people that come and there's people that go. It's sad fact that people leave the congregation, but where do you go when you leave the congregation of Yahweh? Where do you go once you have the truth, right? Now, if you're a Jehovah's Witness or you're a Catholic and you're on this road, I've talked to many people. I was this, I was Seventh-day Adventist, then I was a Mormon, then I was here, but now I have the truth. But once you hit the truth, once you become a true covenant believer in Yahweh's congregation, where do you go from there? There's only one way to go. And that's straight down to hell. That's straight down to the lake of fire. That's straight down out of blaspheming Yahweh's spirit. That if you have his truth and you're a covenant believer and you've been baptized in the true name of Yeshua, and you go back on that, you're going to the lake of fire. It's that simple. And for parents, you have to watch for these people in the congregation, because like I said, there's some that come, the youth that are not with the program and they're not being trained correctly, and they come and they're going to indoctrinate and they're going to affect our children. And we have to be careful of that, because like it says here, and eventually they will leave, because the spirit of the world cannot stand to be with the spirit of Yahweh. I've seen it before many, many times. It can't stand it. So they'll be there for a while, and that's where that battle is going on in the person's mind. But in the end, if you give up to the world and you give your mind over to the world as youth, you're done. You're done. You're never going to come back. And it's like the person becomes a whole different person. They become somebody totally different. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be led astray. Bad communications, bad companionships ruin good habits. Bad companionships ruin good habits. It's very true. That you could have a child, you could have a youth, you could have a teen that's doing good, reading his Bible, listening to parents, and now he meets another teen in the congregation that is rebellious, that is worldly, that is into all these video games. Bad communications, bad companionships ruin good habits. So as parents, unfortunately, you have to do it sometimes. So as teens, if your parents are telling you, nope, we're not going to allow you to befriend this person, no, they're doing it because they love you. They're not doing it because they're trying to restrict you from having a friend. They're doing it because they know the responsibility before Yahweh. And in the end, those relationships that you have, they are going to make the person that you are. I said this in the last message when we were in Houston, that everything that's in your mind of your belief system comes from what? It comes from the teaching of your parents from birth. It comes from the teachers you had in school. It comes from the friends you have. All this stuff is going into your nervous system, which is building your belief system that makes your actions what they are. It's that simple. And parents must control the belief system of their children. You have that ability, you have that responsibility, and you have the blessing that you can do it because you're there with your children more than anybody. But take advantage of it. You got to take advantage of it. 2 Peter 2. starting in verse 13. He says, being about to receive the wages of unrighteousness, as they consider it a delightful thing to revel in the daytime. They are sports and blemishes among you, and they sport themselves with their own pleasures, feasting along with you in idleness. And like I said, we've had it. We've had it in our congregation. We've seen it times, you know, where youth have come and people think, oh, well, if I bring my 16, 17, 18-year-old worldly youth to the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, all of a sudden they're going to change and become better, and it doesn't work that way. What happens is they will affect our children negatively. And I hate to have to say it, but I do say it, that if you have worldly, unconverted youth, please don't bring them to our congregation. You're the parent. You deal with it at home. And if you can't deal with it at home, then there's no way, if you love the brethren, you should be bringing that worldly child that you have to us. Because we're not going to be able to change anything. And it's not showing love for your neighbor to do this. It simply isn't. We've even had at the Feast of Tabernacles years back, youth that have went out in the night looking for drugs. You know, I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. And parents knew it. Parents have known it, and they've lied to us. They've lied to themselves, and it's not right. It's not right. Verse 15, who forsaken the straight path and have gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. Right before this, look what it said. They're cursed children. These are cursed children. Why are they cursed? Unfortunately, a lot has to do with the parents and the upbringing, because they haven't done it right. But also because even maybe you came into the truth and your child was already 10 or 15 or 18 years old. Who knows? But at that point, then, you have to be strong in disciplining. You have to be strong. That's their only chance, is strong discipline. Because what I've seen is that children that are undisciplined as children, that they never learn this, that they're against, they're rebellious and they're against authority as children, they're the same ones that grow up as adults and cannot follow judicial order. It's that simple. That if a child is indoctrinated from birth, that there's something higher than them, there's something bigger than them in life, that Yahweh is bigger, that Yahweh has elders, he has leaders in the congregation, then they're going to grow up understanding there's something bigger than me, and there is always authority. It doesn't matter where it is, there's always authority. But if they don't get that in the home, and they're growing up rebellious in the home, what's going to happen? They're going to get older. Maybe some point of truth might bring them into the congregation for a short time, but they'll never stay because they're too rebellious. They can't be corrected. That's the problem. They're not going to be able to ever take correction. And in the end of the day, what's going to happen is they'll wind up leaving. And unfortunately, they take people with them at times. So this is why this is really, really serious. Like it says in verse 22, but the word of the true prophet has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit. Also the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mud. And they're going to turn back. I know as a parent, you never want to have to believe this, but it's going to happen. And you have to protect your children, and you have to protect the other children in the congregation. Proverbs 15:5. Proverbs 15:5. Says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he keeping correction is sensible. And like I said, particularly as fathers, I said this in the sermon, Where Have All the Fathers Gone? We have to correct our children. We have to make them understand there's consequences of their actions, and this is going to give them security. It's going to make them have boundaries in their life, and they need it. They need correction. Proverbs 13:24. He who holds back his rod hates his son, but he who loves him seeks him with correction. He who holds back his rod hates his son or daughter. It doesn't make a difference. His child. So a lot of times it's convenience. You know, you work hard, you come home, you have 10 hours away, and you don't want to deal with it. But that convenience to you is not helping your child. He who holds back his rod hates his child, but he who loves him seeks him with correction. So this is, again, for the child to realize this. Some child are thinking, oh, my parents don't love me, or, you know, I'm always being corrected. But they're doing it because they do love you. That's what Scripture says. If your parent didn't love you, they would just let you go off and do whatever you want to do. It's their love for you that's causing them to take the time and the effort and correct you, because they know that they have this responsibility before Yahweh. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Well, this comes from Deuteronomy 5:16. I'll read it. Honor your father and mother, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you, so that your days may be prolonged and so that it may be well with you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you. Honor your father and mother. The first commandment with a promise. Can you imagine these other commandments? You shall do this. You shall not do this. You know, and of course you reap what you sow. So, right? If you steal, you know, you're going to have to pay the consequences of it. But this commandment is the first commandment with a promise that if you honor your parents, Yahweh will give you prosperity and long life. And I think everybody wants prosperity and long life, right? Because why is it so important? Because ultimately, Yahweh is the father of all of us. So even his parents, you know, I say it's a real interesting life cycle when you look. Because when you grow up and you're young and you're 10 and you're 12 and you're 15, you really don't understand how great your parents are. You don't understand the sacrifices that they made for you in their life. You don't understand how hard, you know, they work day and night and everything that they do. But then all of a sudden you get to be 20, 25, 30, and now you're getting married, right? So beside learning to be a husband or being a wife, you're also learning to be a parent. And now you're seeing how much you love that child from the day they're born until the day they die and how much you care for them. And as a parent, it's very different than as a child, right? So we're always, you get to play the role of a father, you get to play the role of a son, you get to play the role of a husband. But ultimately, these relationships are showing us that Yahweh is the father of all of us. So all of us are in that role as children. That mean what? That we have to learn respect for our parents. And the mother in scripture many times is referred to as the congregation. You know, she's the one that nurtures us. She's the one that gives us the Torah. And Yahweh is the father. So as children, we have to understand this, that if you want a good life, if you want a life with prosperity and health and good things, you've got to honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. First commandment with a promise. Ephesians 6:4, back to Ephesians 6. And fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching of Yahweh. Okay? So again, just like judicial order, we say it's voluntary and reciprocal. It's not dictatorship. So the fact that we're parents and we're older and we're bigger than our kids, it does not give us the right to abuse them. And abuse is not just smacking or beating them. Abuse can be verbally. If you are constantly putting your child down, if you are constantly telling your child how bad they are or criticizing them, you have no idea what you're doing to that tiny little mind. You're provoking them instead of nurturing them. So that's the point. As parents, we're here to nurture. We're here to help. We're here to help them grow. But by only just correcting them, particularly if it's in anger, all you're doing is provoking them to anger. Colossians 3 puts it even a little better. Colossians 3:20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to Yahweh. Fathers or parents, do not provoke your children that they might not be discouraged. So think about this. When you have a child that's maybe 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 or 15 or 16, it doesn't matter. They're different parts of life, but it's all the same. And you're continuously criticizing, putting them down, not correcting in love to help them to grow, but putting them down that way. You're not only provoking them, but what you're doing is you're discouraging them. You're putting things in their life. You're going to give them inhibitions when they get older that they're going to be afraid to do things because they don't have self-confidence, you know? And you're not helping them in that stance. So as parents, we have to know the difference. And it's a fine line. And the problem is, even though Yahweh is above us and we have to know that, he's not there in your house physically, that every time we make a mistake, he's there to correct us the way we're there to correct our children. So we can see the mistakes our children are making, and we can be correcting them day and night. But we have to realize Yahweh is there also looking at us. Whether we want to believe it or not or see it or not, Yahweh is there looking at how we're doing. And we are commanded as parents not to provoke our children and not to discourage our children. So again, correction always wants to be done in love. And it wants to be done in a positive way, not a negative way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation is taking you except what is human. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you are able to. But with the trial, he will also make the way out so that you may be able to bear it. So again, like we see here, Yahweh always gives a way out. So as children, I know sometimes where your parent might be telling you, no, you're not going to go to that ball game with your friends, or I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to do this because it's Sabbath, and it might seem like the biggest thing in the world and the end of the world, and I'm never going to... But really, it isn't. You have to realize it. You have to be mature enough, even if you're a teenager or whatever, to realize there's things your parents are going to tell you for your betterment. But Yahweh always makes a way out. So you have to have a mature understanding of it to realize there's something better there. Okay, like we say, no. People have told us, how could you not do Christmas? Your daughter, our daughter never did Christmas, ever. You know, she was born into the truth, and she thinks it's ridiculous. And like she said, wow, I get 8 days of Sukkot. Why would I want one day of Christmas? It's the teaching that you give them is their attitude that's going to come out for it. But Yahweh, when he's correcting us, it's a teaching tool. It's not a punishment. There's always a way out of every trial at the end. Remember that correction should be a teaching tool, not a punishment. Judgment by parent is to help the child grow. It's that simple. So as children, you don't want to become bitter toward your parents because they're correcting you. You want to be thankful to Yahweh that you have parents who love you enough to correct you, that are there with you, that are putting in the time with it. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And we'll see this great scripture for this. Really great scripture for this. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which he speaks with you as with sons or children. My sons, my children, do not despise the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens and disciplines every son whom he is pleased. If you endure discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as with sons. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? For if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are strangers and not sons. So the fact that a parent is disciplining you, it's showing how much they love you. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. I respect my father because I know my father was correcting me because he loved me and he wanted me to grow up to be a better person. He wanted me to grow up with morals in my life. For we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For they truly disciplined us, our earthly parents, for a few days according to the things seeming good to them. But he, Yahweh, for a profit in order for us to partake of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous, but grievance. But afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it. Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and the enfeebled knees, and make straight tracks for your feet, that the member which is lame may not suffer, but rather be healed. Eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without no one will see Yahweh. Like we said, the sanctification. That's what the correction is for, because it's leading us to be sanctified in our life. Watching diligently that not any lack from the grace of Yahweh, that no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and through this many are defiled. That not any fornicator or profane one, as Esau for one meal gave up his birthright. For you know that afterwards, desiring to inherit the blessing, excuse me, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although seeking it with tears. So again, I've seen it with people. I've seen people build a root of bitterness in their life toward their parents because of the way they were corrected when they were younger. And this is absolutely bad. All it's going to do is it's going to cause you to have your whole life messed up. And there's one thing you have to realize something. Your parents gave you life. Your parents gave you life. So for nothing else, no matter what else your parents did or didn't do, they gave you life. Yahweh chose those parents for you. And if it wasn't for those parents, you would not be alive today. And you need to appreciate that. And that's the problem. We're living in a time, like we said, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. We had one time at the Bible school years back that there was a guy there, and he had his wife and his kids. He was probably in his mid-30s, and his parents were there at the school too. And this guy was putting down his parents and saying how bad of parents they were right in front of everybody. And everybody felt awkward because no matter what, I would never in a million years ever say one negative word about my father to anybody because he's my father, you know, and I'm the offspring of him. And what he sacrificed in his life for me, you know, working 12, 13 hours a day and then coming home and playing ball with me in the backyard or whatever it was, coming to my ball games when I was younger or whatever. But what he sacrificed with me, I would never put my father down in front of somebody. And that's the way this ungrateful generation is. And like I said, shame on you if you have anything bad to say about your parents. Shame on you. Because they gave you life and they're the ones that Yahweh chose for you. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." And for some to sit there their whole life and go through this sour grapes life, blaming their parents and having bitterness at their parents for things they did, don't you understand you're only hurting yourself? You're only hurting yourself because it's not going to change anything anyway. And some people did have bad parents. There's people out there that were abused by parents, and alcoholic fathers, whatever it was, but it's not going to change anything. Turn it around. Focus on the fact that no matter what they were, your father and your mother, they gave you life, and that's how you started. And that's why you are the person you are today. But bitterness will only lead to more bitterness. John 3:16. "For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, this is really interesting because the other thing we read there in Hebrews 12 at the end of it was about Esau. That Esau gave up his birthright, right? And then afterwards, even though he sought it with repentance, but it was worldly repentance, he wasn't repenting of his evil actions. What he was he was bitter because in his mind he lost something to his brother. And that's why Yahweh didn't accept that. That's not repentance. Yahweh's not accepting that. But here it is. "For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only child, his only begotten Son, so that all those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And as a child of a believer, do you realize the honor you should be giving? If the Bible says honor your father and mother, whether they're good or evil, it doesn't say. It just says honor them, right? First commandment with a promise. How much more should you be honoring your parents that are in the truth? Parents that have dedicated their life to Yahweh, that are sacrificing their whole life for you as their child, and also to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. You should be honoring your parents for what they do for you and what they're going through like nothing else. And if you're a child, I don't care whether you're 10 or you're 40, if you have a believing mother or father in the congregation and you're not giving them honor for everything they're sacrificing, then shame on you. You really need to look at this thing differently because your birthright is there because of your parent. 1 Corinthians 7:14, look what it says. "For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified by the husband. Else then your children are impure, but in such cases they are pure." And we have many cases like this, where there's a believing husband, but a non-believing wife in the congregation, or the other way around. There's a believing wife and there's an unbelieving husband. But in those cases, your children are sanctified through the believer. So if the children are sanctified through one believer, how much more are they sanctified through two believers? If you have the husband and wife that are both believers, and as children in the congregation, instead of having this worldly attitude of unthankfulness and putting down your mother or putting down your father and thinking of how much better they could be, why not turn it around and say how thankful you are that Yahweh called you into a family that has a believing mother or a believing father, or maybe both, a believing mother and a father? Particularly the youth today, you have to, and you have to come out of the world first of all, or your mind will never concept this, but you have to get a spirit of appreciation. If as youth you ever want to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh, the first thing you have to do is build a spirit of appreciation, and it starts no greater way than thanking Yahweh every day of your life for the parents he gave you. Because they're your parents, you're never going to have other parents. And like I said in my other sermon on Where Have All the Mothers Gone, You only got one mother in your life, and there's nobody that will ever, ever love you in your life like a mother. And there's nobody that will ever care for you, you know, as a father, for your needs that you have, you know, of providing your house and providing your food and providing your raiment. And you should be thankful every day of your life, because I'll tell you something. We're living in a world now where you have millions of refugees. We are living in a time where we're seeing millions of children that are winding up without parents. Their parents are being killed, and they're winding up refugees. Some of them are winding up as slaves. Can you imagine in 2016? And here it is that Yahweh has put you with a mother and a father that loves you and cares for you. And like I said, has sacrificed their life for the kingdom of Yahweh. And you need to be thankful for that every day of your life. You need to be thankful for that. Isaiah 44:2 says, "So says Yahweh, who made you, informed you from the womb. He helps you. Do not fear my servant Jacob and Jethro Run, whom I've chosen." Yahweh has made you, informed you from the womb. Do you realize that? Do you realize that as children, you're not just an accident. You didn't just come. No, Yahweh knew you before you were born. Psalm 139 in verse 13. He says, "For you have possessed my inward parts. You wove me in the womb of my mother. I will thank you, for with fearful things I am wonderful. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven in the depths of the earth, and your eyes saw me as an embryo. And in your book all my members were written, the days they were formed, and not one was yet among them." Wow. Do you realize this, that Yahweh has known you before you were ever born. And Yahweh chose to give you the parents that you have. And it doesn't matter if they're biological parents or not. The parents you have are the parents Yahweh chose for you. And I can say, before Mariah was born, I had two dreams. The first dream I had, I believe it was actually on the night she was conceived, because it was exactly 9 months to the day that she was born from that dream. But I saw her 9 months before she was born, exactly the way she looked. The curly hair, everything, you know, and we had no idea when Mariah was going to be born, if we were going to have a girl or a boy, you know. And I said to Petra, I woke up and I said, "You're not going to believe it. I had a dream. And it was a little girl in the dream, our daughter, and she had this curly hair and exactly how Mariah looked." So Yahweh knew when she was just being conceived, not only what she was going to look like, but he knew who he chose for her parents. And he chose me and Petra. And that's why, you know, she needs to be thankful every day of her life that Yahweh put her in this family, and that he gave her two parents that love her and care for her that way. The last thing I want to go into here is, because also I'm going into the birthright. It said that Esau gave up his birthright, like I was saying to you youth today. You have a birthright, right? You might not be baptized yet because you're not old enough in the kingdom of Yahweh. But you have parents that are in that kingdom. You have parents that have made that commitment. You have parents that are first fruit believers and are going to reign with Yeshua for 1,000 years. But do you know that you have also been called to rule in the kingdom of Yahweh? Galatians 4 in verse 1. Says, "But I say, over a long period of time, the heir is a child and does not differ from a slave, even though he is master of all of them," right? So when the king has a child, that's a little child, he's the heir of the kingdom, but as a child, he doesn't know it. "However, he is under guardians and stewards of the house until the time which his father has set. So we also, when we were young, we were under the elements of the world, being enslaved." So, "But when the fullness of the time came, Elohim sent forth his son, having come into being out of a woman, being subject to the Torah, that he might redeem the ones under the penalty of the Torah, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons or children, Elohim sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that you are no more a slave, but a son, and if a son, also an heir of Yahweh through Messiah." So, do you understand this? And I like to use the example of You know, we know Queen Elizabeth. She's been the longest reigning queen in who knows how long, but a long, long time that she's reigning as queen there. I think now it's 60 years she just had, her 60-year anniversary. And her son, Prince Charles, that may or may not wind up being king when she steps down for various reasons. But Prince Charles and Diana had two children, William and Harry. And when I was growing up, I was watching what was happening with these children. Because at first you saw them as little children, you know, 5 and 6 years old and cute and what they're wearing. But those parents, those royal parents, they made sure that those children did not grow up, you know, with their nose in the air. Those children went to military school. Those children went to Africa and served the poor people in Africa. They served in things like ambulance, helping people that are sick. And both of them, particularly William more than Harry, but both of them seemed to grow up pretty good with pretty good morals. That they learned that even though, like, William will be king someday, he learned how to serve his subjects before he's going to learn how to be a king, right? Because if you can't learn to serve, then you can't be served. We say that in leadership. You can never be a leader unless you learned how to follow. Or you'll be a dictator. You know, it just won't be that way. And here it is. We see from this family that they learned this. They physically learned how to be leaders. Do you realize you will firsthand physically be helping to restore the earth under Yeshua's government? If you're a youth today and the kingdom of Yahweh is going to come in the next 5, 10, 15 years, then you are physically going to be there helping. The evil world of Babylon may seem so real now because it's all you've known, but it will pass away and the kingdom of Yahweh will last forever. The kingdom of Yahweh is a kingdom of peace and not war, a kingdom of love and not hate, a kingdom of life and not death, where no one will be sick or hungry, or disease, or poor, or sadness, or depression. Only happiness, joy, and a spirit of appreciation every day of eternity. So this is what you have to look forward to. That, yes, your parents may be spirit beings, and we may be in the inner circle of Yeshua when he returns, but there will be a physical kingdom. There will be millions of human beings everywhere from China, you know, to Europe, that are going to survive the horror that's coming and will physically be living in the kingdom of Yahweh. And they will need physical rulers. They're going to need physical rulers to rule over them. And who are those rulers going to be? It's going to be the children of the first fruits. Our children that were not old enough yet to make that commitment of baptism. So they're not a first fruit. But they've been trained since childhood for this position. And I'll tell you another thing. Today in Israel, the Levites, they actually, people talk about a third temple. They actually have a temple, like a fake temple that they built in the wilderness, in the Judean wilderness, preparing the priests that are already doing sacrifices. Last year was the first time they did a Passover sacrifice, probably from the days of the temple. They have separated their children from birth for this, so that they would never come near a dead body, so that they would physically not break the laws of clean and unclean. We need to be separating our children from birth so that spiritually they're learning, because our children are being set apart to be the physical leaders of the kingdom of Yahweh. And as first fruit parents, we have to understand this, and we have to make sure we're keeping them separated from the world. Go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah the 11th chapter. And let's look. For you youth, look at the beautiful future that's waiting for you. Look at your birthright. This is your birthright promise because of your parents. And that's why I say you need to be thankful for your parents, because you have a birthright promise to be a king and a leader in the kingdom of Yahweh that's coming because of your parents. A shoot goes forth from the stump of Jesse, Isaiah 11, and a branch will bear fruit from its roots. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest on him. He will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he is made to breathe in the fear of Yahweh, for he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But he shall judge the poor in righteousness, and shall decide rightly for the meek of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he shall cause the wicked to die in the breath of his lip. And righteousness shall be the encircler of his loins, and faithfulness the encircler of his loins. And the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. A little boy will lead them. Who is this little boy? This is a child of one of the first fruit believers when the kingdom comes. And why will a little boy lead them? Because children don't hold grudges. Because children are correctable. Because children, they don't have a mean-heartedness in them. We need to get the heart of a child, like it says here. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall lie together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the infant will play on the hole of the asp. Yea, the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not do evil nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Drop down to verse 16. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, those left from Assyria, as it was to Israel in the day when they came up out of the land of Egypt. The highway of holiness. That's coming. Go to Isaiah 35. We see more of this wonderful birthright kingdom that we see. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice for them, and the desert shall exalt and bloom like the crocus. Surely it shall bloom and exalt, even with joy and singing. Lebanon's glory shall be given to it, the honor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the majesty of our Elohim. Make the weak hand strong and firm up the stumbling knees. Say to those of a hasty heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance, with the full dealing of Elohim. He will come, Yeshua, and save you. This is the kingdom coming. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters will break out in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Like you said, this is already happening today in Israel. And the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall become springs of water. And the homes of jackals, and the lair, and the place for the reed and the rush. And a highway will be there. We just read about this. And a way it shall be called the way of holiness, sanctification, set apart from the world. The unclean shall not pass over it. And it shall be for them the one going in the way. Yea, fools shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, and no violent beast shall go up on it. It shall not be found there, but redeemed ones will walk there. And the ransom of Yahweh shall return and enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy on their head. Gladness and joy will reach them, and sorrow and sighing shall flee. So think of this as a youth in Yahweh's congregation. They think of it. Think of, at times, you might feel hopeless, right? You feel like you're in these situations. Oh, you can't do anything. Oh, how hopeless you feel. But here we're looking at you will be the leaders in this kingdom. You will be the physical leaders. That you will have the ability given by Yahweh. And because of the commitment your parents made. That you are being prepared to be these leaders. To help the blind to see. The ears of the deaf to be open. That there'll be no more sickness nor war. The people will be melting their weapons into plowshares. Wow, you have such a great future. You have the ability to change the world. But you have to make a choice. Do you want to be part of the world of Satan? The world of, you know, video games and all kinds of evilness? Or do you want to abstain from that now? Do you want to come out of that? Do you want to literally read your Bible every day and prepare for this great destiny that Yahweh's given you? Because I can tell you this much, and if you're a youth, you know this, particularly if you're a youth going to public school, you know that the youth today are not happy. You see it. They're always miserable. You see a group of kids, it's boring. Oh, there's nothing to do. It's boring. Boring? Look at life out there. Boring? I'll tell you, life can be a lot of things, but one thing life is not is boring. Okay? Come to Israel with me. Spend a week with me. I'll take you out to the wilderness. I'll take you on camel rides. I'll take you things you've never seen in your life. And I can tell you one thing. Spend a week with me, and your life will be anything but boring. You know, I mean, anything but boring. My life is anything but boring. I'm so excited because even in this evil world, we have so much to look forward to. And we have the ability now to change the world. Yahweh has given that as our destiny. Our destiny is literally to change the world. But you got to prepare for it. It just don't happen. You're not going to sit in the world with one foot in and one foot out until the kingdom comes and then think you're going to be part of the solution. No way. If you want to be part of this, if you want to be part of this wonderful kingdom, right? Revelation 5:10, And he made us kings and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign on the earth. If you want to literally be able to open the eyes of blind people, if you want to literally be able to tell a person who's crippled, get up and walk, then you got to start today. You got to put the ways of the world behind you with all of the wickedness, with all of the video games and the iPods and all that worldliness. It's got to go. And you got to start working on your future, just like Prince William and Harry. You know, you have to work on that future today if you want to be that king for tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29, he says, "But I say this, brethren, that the time has been cut short. Let the ones having wives be as though they have none, and those weeping is not weeping, and those rejoicing is not rejoicing, and those buying as they did not possess anything. And those who make use of this world is not abusing it, for the mode of this world is passing away." I gave this message in Houston a few weeks ago. Not only do we know 100% we're in the end time, we know we are close to the end of the end time. We know there's not 100 years left, or 70 years left, or 50 years left. It is impossible. We are in that last generation, and like I said, from 1948, which wasn't so bad morally in 1948, to 2016, every decade has gotten worse. The 60s from the 50s, the 70s from the 60s, all the way until today, until like we said, you have a generation of death now. You have a generation of piercings and tattoos and just evilness that I would have never thought in my life I would ever see. And yet we're seeing it. So now, you youth, as you're seeing the world passing every day, you have to make that choice to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, says Yeshua. My reward is with me to give each according to his work." So like I said, there is a great future for you. Whether you're 12 years old and just becoming a teenager, or you're 18 years old and you're just becoming an adult, there is a great future for every youth that is part of the congregation of Yahweh in the kingdom of Yahweh. There is a great future. There's a lot of fun. Life can be fun. Life can be filled with all kinds of joy. It's just the choice you make. And certainly you're not going to have that joy if you're part of the world and loving the ways of the world and getting all that sickness from the world. The time is now. The time is now. Ecclesiastes 12. "Remember your creators in the days of your youth, while the evil days do not come, or the years strike, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them." And you know, when you look at Ecclesiastes, it's a great book. It's one of my favorite books because it shows the vanity of this life. And here's a king, right? Solomon, that had everything. There's nobody that did more than Solomon. Read Ecclesiastes 1. Who has come and done more than King Solomon? He had wives and horses and money and everything you can imagine he did. And he wrote Ecclesiastes at the end of his life because his end, was he happy? Was he satisfied? Was he thankful to Yahweh? No, at the end of his life, he said, it's all vanity. Why? Because he lived a life to himself. He lived a life to the flesh, and that doesn't lead you to happiness. If you're living a life for you, a selfish, worldly life for you, you will never, ever, ever find true joy in your life. And at the end of the day, you know what? If you ask every single person what they wanted in life, really, the answer is the same for everybody, whether they're converted or not converted. People may say, I want more money, or I want this, or I want a wife and kids. But that's not really what you want. At the end of the day, what people want is happiness. So some people think that money or family or a big house or a good job will lead to happiness, okay? So they could be brainwashed into some of these things because the only thing that's going to lead to happiness is a true relationship with Yahweh. When you have the true relationship with Yahweh, that means the relationship with your wife, the relationship with your children, the relationship with others is going to be an extension of your relationship with Yahweh. And that's the only thing that's going to lead to true happiness. Is going to be your relationship with Yahweh. But everybody wants the same. Everybody wants to be happy. This is the answer. That as a youth now in the congregation, you have the ability, as these years are winding down, if you take it serious, that you can be a leader in Yahweh's kingdom that's coming. And you can transform the world into what Yahweh had at the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine that? So as we're looking here now, don't remember Yahweh like when you're young, like it says here. Remember now your creators in the days of your youth while the evil days do not come. There's a time coming that's going to be the worst time the world has ever seen. Don't wait for that day because it may be too late. Seek Yahweh now. Don't fall for the trap of Satan to leave the congregation and go into the world just to see how evil it is and destroy your life and come back with a lot of baggage. You don't need it. And for some that are maybe older in the congregation and went through this, then make it a ministry to help the youth that they don't go through the same mistakes that you had. You must prepare now for the great future you have as a leader in Yahweh's kingdom to help to restore the earth to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. It is not the end of the world which is coming, but the Bible says it's world without end. You hear all this stuff, end of the world, end of the world, end of the world, and some youth say, what good is it? What do I have to live for? The world is going to end. No, the world is not going to end. Satan's system is going to end. But Yahweh is world without end. We will have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity to bring the earth back to what it was at the Garden of Eden. And then, who knows, there are billions of universes and planets and solar systems. And it's only, you can only imagine what Yahweh has in store for us after the millennium is over. As Eliyahu the prophet, remember we said, you know, we're living in the Eliyahu ministry, turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. Remember what Eliyahu said to the prophets of Baal when he was up on Mount Carmel. Stop dividing between two opinions. Stop dividing between two opinions. If Yahweh is Elohim, then serve him. And if Yahweh is not Elohim, then go serve the world. You're right. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. But Yahweh is Elohim. He is real. We have fulfilled prophecy. We have every single thing in the world to know that Yahweh is real. And the fact that we're living in the times we're living in now, that he said would be this way, and they've never been this way before. If that's not enough to know he's real, because how can he predict it? Then come on. Even nuclear weapons, for that matter. Stop dividing between two opinions. Choose who you're going to serve, and the answer will decide where you're going to be for eternity. This is serious. Because the fact that you may have believing parents doesn't necessarily mean that you will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It means that you've been set apart, right? And even if, let's say for parents that come into the faith and your children are already older and they're not part of it, your children are still sanctified. They can be in the white throne judgment. So don't think just because maybe you had older children that didn't come into the truth that they're lost. No, Yahweh is Elohim of redemption, not condemnation. So even to some of your older children that may not be following the way you are, if you're a believer, still by your example and by your setting those seeds, if they're morally doing good things, they'll still be in the white throne judgment. The answer will decide where you'll be for eternity. You must stay separated from the world. Pray, study, every day follow instructions of your parents. The time is now. So, to the youth of the congregation of Yahweh, I want to say, it's been a burden on my heart for many, many years to the youth, because I know the future is the youth. And that's why I see we can't last even one more generation. You know, in my mind, the end could be, you know, I mean, we're leading into it and we might have 5, 10, 20 years maximum until Yeshua's feet are on that Mount of Olives. Probably not even that much time. But because of the generation, that wicked, evil generation, the generation X's of the world, that have denied any form of righteousness, I know it can't be longer than that. But to Yahweh's people, that's why my burden is on you, because I know we need you in the kingdom of Yahweh. I know that when Yahweh returns and the first fruits will be going around the world as spirit beings helping things, I know we need worldly leadership at that time, and I know that Yahweh called you. Don't be like Esau. Don't give up your birthright for one meal. Don't give up your birthright for one dumb decision in the world. Know that your parents, who Yahweh is called, they love you. Honor them, as the commandment says, because it's the first commandment with promise. And if you do that, Yahweh will set you up. And like we said, you have a great future in the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.